Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Mother is a message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Oh. Alafia. Greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your emperor here, here to serve you. I am your advocate that you need, and I am your advisor that you want. I'm going to get those drummers in here to see if I can get a drum roll. Drummers, can you come in to give me a drum roll? You're so sweet sometimes. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. They're on their way. They're going to be bringing the drum roll. I am your emperor. Turn up your radio. I am here to serve you, whatever you like. I am here to serve you. I am your servant at your disposal. So well, wouldn't you all agree? Thank you so much, drummers. You have been fantastic. Thank you. You're so sweet sometimes. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Care to Read Room. I want you to lock that dial into 464-478-0270. Lock it in. Go ahead on and lock it in, little G. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Thank you so much for that. Just borrowing some words from our friends and neighbors that are out there, we like to say hello to Harambe Radio Station. Harambe Radio Station, we give you three shouts out into the atmosphere. We say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Go ahead on, Harambe. Keep doing what you're doing. We endorse your work. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening for this segment. We are talking about reparation. Was the slavery a big business for those rich Caucasian men who owned slaves and were in power? Was it big business for them? And during that time, was it 60% of the profit of slave rework where most of the money was put into slaves? And if it was, then could Lincoln very well get these emancipators to release their slaves when money was at the end of this filthy lucre? No, he couldn't get them to release them. And he had to bribe them. And he had to give them the first reparations, ladies and gentlemen, because they were in no way getting ready to give up their walking ATM, MasterCard, Visa card wearing slave, because that's exactly what they were, walking ATM card. They could duplicate the work of accommodated for this work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand what I'm saying. You can't very well ask the man to get rid of cattle. You can't very well ask the man to release all of his flock or his chickens. They have to be compensated. And that's a square deal. But why was African American considered to be three-fifths of a human being? What happened where they were reduced down to the level of an animal and lower than a refugee? How can we be compensated for someone reducing us down to the level of an animal? Stocks, as if we were cattle. Now, if we were cattle and they had to be paid to release us, when they released us, what happened to the economy? Did it continue to go down because our dollars were not circulating? Did it continue to go down because we were no longer picking cotton? What happened to the industry? And maybe it's the African Americans that can jumpstart the economy again. Maybe if we put our heads together, Obama, we can see how black people were the beginning of something good, of creating a labor industry, and maybe we can pull the country out of this mess that we're in now, and we can start the process of jump-starting the economy by giving us our reparations. Yeah, you knew I was going to get to that part. That's right. We are still standing in the need of filthy lucre, and we are not playing this time. Before, we kept joshing around about, no, I don't need it. You can give it to me. No, I don't need it. You can give it to me. No, I don't need it. We need it. And as simple as that, if we don't get any wealth before the end of this decade, we're going to be permanent underclass. But not only, you say, right? That's right, because I'm rich in my spirit. And I tell you to be rich in your spirit, because you can speak alchemy into existence. You can call it to you, but there's a lot of us who have not mastered that skill yet, and we can't call filthy lucre to us, and we need it so badly, because baby needs a new pair of shoes, and papa needs a new lunch pail, and brother needs a haircut, and sister needs a new dress for the prom, and grandma needs her false teeth put in. Everybody needs something. They need something. They need something. We need that reparation. Don't make me have to get down here and cry about what we need it for. We always know that money is the answer to all things. We know that. So when you can't pay your taxes, you can't go walking in to your mortgage company and say, look, I had to take care of my children in college, and his tuition was due, and her housing was due, and his registration was due, and I don't know how many more I'm going to have to pay for, so I can't pay those taxes. Now, I'm being facetious, but this is real. Somebody out there is saying this today. Let the taxes go. And we know what happens when we let taxes go. It ends up on somebody's list. And I can't begin to tell you the horrible stories about how many people have had to move out because of foreclosure. It is heartbreaking, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to fix it for our people. And all people, not just black people, but all people who are struggling right now and going through something. Now, the average white child that's born is born with a bank account, some stocks and bonds, and some savings put away for them, and their tuition already paid for. So when they get ready to go and place a ring on somebody's finger, they can walk in with a dowry of things that they own. But the average black child, unfortunately, has neither of those things, and they're at a deficit. Obama, if you don't do anything else, but for the children that are unborn, just like the children that were in the loins traveling down the middle passage who never made it back home, for the children that never made it back home, for those potential parental parents who might bring forth child, for those children who are not yet born, we could do something for them. We could put savings accounts away for those children, for tuition, for college, for their livelihood. We can do something for those transitioning, graduating high school students into the workforce, into the community. We could give them a little bit more filthy lucre to pay for their housing so they can come out of the rain and come out of the streets. And so we could put a little change in their pocket. All they're asking for is a little pocket change. That's all they're asking for, to pay their rent and their expenses so that they can stay out of the streets and stop hustling and scamming. If we could do that for the young people, I could see a change coming. I could see the young people feeling good about themselves and not wreaking havoc on their department stores or breaking in and stealing at the local drug stores and the filling station. I can see that. If you think about the average burglaries that are broken in on, most of these people are breaking in for basic essential things that they need to live. If we're so inhumane here in the United States of Africa, then let us be humane to our own citizens. Before we start helping all these countries abroad, we have got to let fellowship spread abroad here in the United States of America. And I'm saying this because young people know now who cares for them. When Michael Jackson sang that song, "They Don't Really Care About Us," he was singing it in his youth. He was watching to see how many people really cared about the cares of African-American people. He put it plainly, "They don't really care about us." Well, listen to me. Hear me good, Europeans, Caucasians, and those who are on waiting lists to become Caucasians, and those who are on probation lists to become Caucasian, you know who you are. We are not going to put up with a lot of this nonsense. We've grown to be old people now, and we don't have the patience for it. We used to shuck and jive and play the games and giggle and cut the fool, but now the foolishness and the coon activity is over with. We are serious than a heartbeat. We want to sit at the table with you. We want to break bread with you intelligently. Give us the opportunity intelligently of breaking bread with you, of discussing the matter at least. I'm only asking you now. In a minute, the ancestors won't even be asking you. They will be telling you. So it is to your benefit to negotiate on terms that are equal. But in a minute, the ancestors won't even be asking. They will not. They will be commanding. And the Lord has already said to command you me. And we have already commanded God to watch over his word, to perfect what he promised us. The promised land, man-child in the promised land, is going to be here, right here on this earth. We're not waiting for some pie in the sky and for God to part that sky and come down here and scoop us up. We know that that's all a fallacy. We've trained in the Comedic Institute now. We know all those stories that we used to believe as a child. When we were children, we thought as a child. Now that we are older, we put away those foolish things. And now we're thinking with our right mind. We're meditating more. We're using this time to meditate, taking deep breath, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in the levels of oxygen that are pure and that are magnified with our melanin, breathing in the oxygen of holistic living and lifestyle, breathing in the consciousness of our medulla oblongata, and we're able to see clairvoyantly into the future. We're no longer breathing with this apprehensive oxygen that is weakened. We're no longer breathing in the oxygen that will destroy us. We are thinking with our right minds now. Please sit down at the table with us. Please, I caution you. The reason why I caution you is because you are just hearing the ring out and the cries from one end of the diaspora. But you're going to hear in all four cardinal directions a cry out for reparation. This is what I decree, because the time is ready. Don't think that just because Omi is preaching on this topic that she's the only one crying out. I'm willing to bet if you go over into South Africa, there's a cry for us. If you go over into Kenya, there's a cry for us. If you go into Arcadia land, Nigeria, there's a cry for us. And even here in the northern part of the continent, in the United States of America, there's a cry everywhere you go. And if you go to every major urban city and you see the same thing, hopelessness. Hopelessness, torn down and boarded up buildings. The ability to see people who don't even know that they're alive, they're walking dead. It is a cry in every one of these communities. And the cry that you are hearing will stay with you, ladies and gentlemen, and you will begin to see it is only wise for you to sit at the table and break bread with us and negotiate on terms that are going to be acceptable for the African American to receive some part, a portion of, and possibly all of the reparation. What is reparation, you ask Omi? Omi, what is reparation? What is compensation? Baby, I'm finna get compensated. Oh, child, did you get compensated for that car accident? Some of you might not know what compensation means. compensation could lead to anything with material gain, monetary gain, and labor. Now, we're going to be talking on three accords: monetary, material, and labor. All of these things we now have input about, and we can talk affluently with you about them. Do not think it strange that because we have been outside of the realms of financial negotiation that we don't have the skills for sitting now to negotiate. We do have those skills, and they've been encapsulated in our loins, and all we need to do is tap into them. So what we're going to talk to you about today, ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready to go on and get permission from my elders, we're going to be talking about how big business has made it because of slavery and because we were a labor. And our labor was 60% of the business, and how big businesses made it. The South was filthy rich. For every slave that they had, it represented income. The North was penniless poor, and they wanted to take those funds from the Southerners. The Southerners literally had another family running their house, keeping things going while they go pursue another land or a piece of land somewhere. Excuse me. But what I want you to understand is that this fight was about labor, and everybody got a piece of the pie but us. They could have did business with us. They could have said, okay, look like we're going to have to let these cattle out and let them go free. And now that we're letting them go free, we're going to let them preside over the land. We're going to allow them to till the soil and to grow the crop, but we will not do business with them. We're going to make them do the work for us and pay us all of the gain they make. And if there's any excess amount, they may keep that, but they will not be in business with us. Why? Why couldn't they have given the African Americans a chance to interact as a legitimate business entity and do business in the area of cotton where they could advance themselves and the economy could have been jump-started and changed? Why? Because of the trust level. Because of looking at African Americans as being non-equal to any other human being. I have news for you, Caucasians, and other significant others. You must understand, the history books have been written one way, but there are some scientists that know the real story. They know the real story of where civilization came from. And if you haven't read it, I suggest you go pick up the book and read it also. There was but one human race, ladies and gentlemen, and that human race was the African race. All living beings sprung from our loin. We are the original race. Everything else sprung from us. Now, I don't know how you want to cut that or how you want to dissect that, but that makes us the oldest living ancestor, the oldest living human beings alive. And that also tells you that if we were the original people, and we cultivated you, then you are our children, and we are the elders. And the Bible says to honor your elders, for your days might be long on this earth. Read me now. Honor your mothers and fathers, for your days might be long on this earth. I am your mother. I am Yamanjah, and many of us African are your mothers. And because we are your mothers, you must honor us. And I don't think you've been honoring us. Your days, you do want to be long on this earth. This is in your scripture. This is in the mutilated book that was presented. I didn't write this. It was written that your days would be long in honoring us. Now, because we are the oldest living creatures, and because we're looking for honor, that's right, and the way you honor somebody is to pay homage to them and what they do. We're going to take the very words that was created to use it to indict certain situations in this scenario. You have not honored us. You have not been obedient to what direction we've given. So this whole United States has now decided to align itself with Africa. Now they're over in another continent, stealing what Africa has left, the raw minerals. What little portion Africa has left, they're there, plundering, sending in the missionaries to sensitize the people. What a shame. Could not you have connected with Africa so that we somehow could get sent back to Africa to be reconnected to our homeland, to gain whatever land we have left and whatever raw minerals we have left? You might not have to do that. You might not have to come to us and say that at all, because you still haven't understood that we're the parents. Parents have to get their households in order. Sometimes the parents have to shake up the children. And sometimes the parents have to chastise the children in a really, really harsh tone way. Or even the ancestors will come in and tan hides. I don't know if you know the ancestors that I know, but they have been known to come back and chasten family members who have been out of order. And all you need to do is say, "My dear, did you know that child of mine that I birthed is acting out? You need to do something about it." And ask for mercy and ask my dear to have mercy. That's all you can do. Now, if we have to go to that level to have our ancestors chasing somebody, woe unto those who are going to be chasing. I just say woe unto those who are going to be chasing, because it is time now that the children be submissive to the parents and get their houses in order. And parents, if you don't rise up and be the parents that you've been called to be, you've been given dominion over this earth, and you've been told to take dominion. Now, whether we're going to be humble and milquetoast people all our lives, we must rise up and become parents and take dominion. At this very moment, for those of you who have not considered reparation for us, I want you to consider it now in all of your ways of thinking. I want you to consider it. Why? Why? Because we have people that are physically, mentally deranged. We have family members that are permanent underclass. We have mothers that are fixed welfare recipients. We have college students that are stuck with loans that they will never pay. We have a financial problem right now that requires us to have wealth, and not just income, but wealth. Most of those who are on this line now know who they are if they're wealthy, if they can produce beyond what their daily required needs are. You can determine how wealthy you are. But African Americans, we have to get it in our mind that we're rich in our spirit and we refuse to be poor. We have to get it in our mind and meditating it on it day and night, seeing your reparation in your mailbox, in your hand, and in your bank account, visualizing it every day as you go down to do meditation. Breathe with me now. Seeing meditation come into your hands and prosperity entering into your family. Seeing the people who once held this fund back handing you the check. Announcing it to the community. Visualize it. Take it into your meditation. And sit and listen to God and let God speak back to you on it. Because you, whatever you visualize in the spirit, you will supernaturally manifest it in the natural. I'm manifesting reparation. I see reparation coming from IRS right now. I've seen it in my spirit. It's in my mailbox. I've seen reparation come from the United States Army and the military with all boxes in hand. I visualize it. I see reparation coming to me in a form of pension money, all reparation back pay. I see it. I see reparation coming to me for all time lost and funds while overseas. I see it. Visualize it. Keep visualizing it. I don't care what nobody tell you. A mouth will say anything. But believe on God. If you believe on men, believe on God too. Believe not what only tell you, but what you see in the spirit. Believe on that. If you can manifest it in the spirit, you can see it in the natural. And I know what I'm telling you is correct because it's our time now. It's our time now. As temperatures accelerate, as vibrations begin to frequently wave, you are seeing the unsettledness in all African Americans all over the world because they know it's time for something to change for them. Obama was just a drop in the bucket to let us know what is about to come up ahead. A change is about to come. I was born in a river. A change is about to come, ladies and gentlemen. I know a change is about to come. And you know what? Malcolm X knew a change was about to come. Don't nothing slip up on God's people. Everything is revealed to you. I see it in my sleep that a change is about to come. The way of life that we once knew is going to change. The way of life of spending income and having money is going to change for all of us. Welcome that change, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome that change, and you should too. Let us welcome it in and embrace it. Now, I am going to get all purified here. And as I get purified, I am going to get ready for our meditation. And I'm going to ask the elder if they can give me permission to speak. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much. And I am going to ask for a prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a new year. We'll be praying more than usual. We'll be praying more than usual during this time, asking you to believe on your meditation and to go into prayer and meditation. Now, if you will quiet your spirit with me as I go to get Baba to purify me, then we'll go right into a prayer. Baba, is the purification ready?
Purification is ready.
Okay, commence with the purification. I pour libations to the south. I pour libations to the north. I pour libations to the west. I wash my hands and my face. And as the libation go to the ground, I say, may the water hit the soil and may it take root and grow and spring up in the hearts of men all over the continent. Is the libation complete and purification?
The libation and purification is complete.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Baba while he's with us if he will give us a prayer for the new year. Baba, could you give us a prayer for the new year?
Greetings in the name of the One Most High. We ask that the energy that created matter, the energy that put cells and protoplasm together, to bless all those who have a receiving mind to receive that which is good. We ask that the infinite source of energy and all be with us this year. We ask that our consciousness are raised. We ask that those who are in situations that they may not be able to identify, they may not be able to get out of, that they somehow find a relief. We ask that those who are suffering from lack of knowing who they are, what they are, that they begin to know. We ask that the infinite source of energy throughout the boundless universe will visit this planet and balance this planet and help those beings on this planet to grow to their highest level of expectation. We ask that those who are sick, those who are shut in, that they receive a blessing of healing. We ask for those who have disagreeable spirits to become agreeable. We ask for those who are caught up into a life of crime to all of a sudden realize who and what they are and to just stop and balance their lives out. We ask that those who are caught up into religion and can't see what was before religion begin to see now and clear their atmosphere, to clear their aura, to clear their chakra systems, to clear their energy, to bring about a new year. We ask that all beings on the planet begin to give harmony, homage, and vibrate to a higher harmony for Mother Earth. We ask that in the name of the One Most High, that we, the recipients of what Mother Earth provides for us, can inspire others to help in earth cleansing, earth change, and earth balancing. We say thank you, and we say amen, amen. Amen Ra.
Thank you very much, Baba, for that great introduction for the New Year prayer. And may we take hold of that consciousness, and may we come into more consciousness. I say that, ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. All that you desire and need is here waiting for you. You need only to access it via the spirit realm. You need only to reach in and tap. It is here for you. Now let us take deep breaths as we breathe in and out, manifesting our reparation, seeing our reparation, knowing that that 40 acres and a mule is not enough, that because over the years interest has accrued, we are seeing our land before us. Isn't it fantastic to see the rolling hills in front of you, knowing that every inch of the land belongs to you? Isn't it great to know that your children will have land to settle on? We are no more nomads. We are sedentary people, where we are settling ourselves in areas in our country, Africa. Africa! Africa! Say it with me, ladies and gentlemen. Africa. Yes, we will be going back to the homeland. And there is a reason now that the United States of America has aligned themselves with Africa. You can live off the land. It is so rich. And it is so vibrant with the silk on top. It flows over and spills over as if it's diamonds and jewels. Think on these things, ladies and gentlemen. Think on completeness, wholeness, being back in your right frame of mind in Arcadia land, in Africa. Seeing your reparation and your land being given back to you. Seeing all that you lost in the motherland laying there uninhibited for you. Visualize with me now as we go on this talking cure. Talk yourself back into what belongs to you. Reparations. Reparation. Reparation. It is ours for the asking. If God said, if you be in him and his word be in you, you can ask what you will. What are you waiting for? Go ahead and ask the Creator for what it is that you want and what you desire that is yours. It is yours for the asking, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call on the ancestors now. Robert Jiggins, come forward and extinguish the light as I pour the water before you. Clara Mae Jiggins, come forward. I say I shake. Tommy Pete Harvey, I say I shake. Essely Pope, I shake. Marvin Eugene Jenkins, I shake. Robert Jr. Jenkins, I shake. Eugene Lilly's son, I shake. Mary Lou Hawkins, I shake. Ida Lilly, I shake. Nisho Lilly, I shake. Bessie Lilly, I shake. I say Dora Lily Ashe, Emmanuel Day Ashe, Lucille Day Ashe, Elijah Day Ashe, Ivory Day Ashe, Louise Day Ashe, Ludell James Ashe, Ruby Lee Bracken Ashe, Ruby Lily Ashe, Sam Lily Ashe, George Lily Ashe, Clifford Bracken, Ashe. And I say Ashe, Michelle Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey, Ashe. I said, so be it, so let it be done. Ancestors, are you home and are you free? Can you take us to another level? Ladies and gentlemen, children to the sanctuary. We're hurrying along, children in the rear and elders in the front. Please go in and take your seat. The ancestors are there waiting for us. We have Matt Turner, who's at the front of the line, and Harriet Tubman, who's bringing up the rear. We are calling on Nina Simone to go out front and sing that sweet as good as Mississippi song. Go ahead on, Nina, and sing your song. As we go into the sanctuary, ladies and gentlemen, let us take our seats and honor Dr. Carruthers. Let us honor Dr. Clark as we bow down and do-ba-lay them and stand on their shoulders. Thank you for joining us, ancestors and heroes and sheroes. Thank you for being a part of our festivity as we go into the talking field. The doors are about to close now. If there are others that are out there that are waiting to go in, please take your seat. And for all of those ancestors who are still traveling in the middle passage who have not yet made it here, I say Ashe. 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 Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You're so kind for cooperating. Take your seats. We are now ready to begin the session. Ladies and gentlemen, as I come down off the spirit right now, please bear with me as I take deep breaths. And if you can synchronize your vital signs with me, then we can get on one accord. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know it is the power of faith that gives me the ability to be here. I am nothing without the power of faith, and I am nothing without the forces that come from Ori. Join me in the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith?
ladies and gentlemen, our faith is strong, and it does go on and on. And without the power of faith, we are nothing. We must realize whose strength we depend on. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take you right into the segment, Reparation. Was it slavery? And was this big business for the economy to have slavery? As I indicated to you earlier, the president of the United States, which was Abraham Lincoln, had customarily knew that cotton was big. The cotton gin made it even bigger. And because during this time, over 60% of the economy's money was put into slavery, into purchasing clothing during the summer and the winter months, and to also utilizing them to make a profit off of building and erecting railroads as well as bridges. Now, with cotton being so big, the people in the South were filthy rich. They had money beyond money, and the Northerners were not very pleased about this. They wanted the money equally distributed. Now, if they were fighting over equally distributing the money, then that meant that the Africans didn't have a chance. They were not even in the scenario. They were not considered as human beings. That's how they were able to get around sharing the wealth. They classified African American as 3/5 of a human being, meaning that they did not have any weight in the Constitution. Now, why would such great cabinet men and congressmen create all this preamble, the Constitution, the amendments, and write these elegant statements about who could benefit from them and tell human beings that they were 3/5 of a human being who had no rights to this particular constitutional document? Now, I think somewhere in Congress we should be able to go back and inadvertently enforce this law, which was already in place. It would not be one that we just created. And you could go back and very well address the undignified way of the violation of code of conduct in the law. Just as we take these laws to whip other individuals with them to prosecute them, we must take the laws to rectify the people who wrote them. If the African Americans were avoided the rights of having the opportunity to be dutifully connected to these preambles, amendments, and Constitution, then in fact they were violated. And they are owed compensation because all during the years that they were included in that language. Now remember, I did say the language was ambiguous. And what I mean by that is that they said we all, you all, and they, and them, and us, but they never said slaves or black Africans. Therefore, in the cosmotions of the language, which is so very important in law, you can lose someone, and you can also make a contract become null and void. Because they were not included, and they purposely left them out, then here and now would be the time of asking about inclusion and adapting another amendment to compensate for those years that they were not included and to calculate those years up until now to see what the loss would be. Now, remember I said that compensation is three things. What did I say? Compensation is monetary. It is also labor. And it's material. So what did you lose on me during that time? Well, I'll tell you. The material gain would be we own no land. We own no property. That could be easily deciphered. And the clothes off our back were the two sets of clothing we were given from the government. So we were penniless and clothless, so there should be a clothing allowance. That's right. Because, you know, that's the first thing African Americans are going to see that they need to buy anyway. So there needs to be a clothing allowance, a land allowance, and a clothing allowance. Now, those are material. Now, the money does not necessarily have to be derived, be handed to us, it could be put into a state and set aside. And it also could be written in the form of a check. It could also be written into a voucher to use to pay taxes with up until the time. But the real question is, does the government have the money? And that's what everybody can say. Well, the government's broke anyway. You know the government can't pay you. They're broke. Then we generate our own funds. That's where you need to get clever. Allow us to come and create funds that we can generate ourselves to go in the pot for reparation. Now, if we've had aliens, immigrants here in this country, and they've been feeding off the land, coming to the land of free and getting the great all-American pumpkin apple pie, and have not reaped, have not built the continent like we have, then they should be taxed. If you get foreigners to come to any country where they don't normally live, then tax them. Because we are surely taxed for all of the reparation that's been given out. But see, now you got education, African American, and you went to school and got a degree. So you got degrees, and you know, we're going to still make money because we're going to have you pay all that money back for school. No. We're denied the right to read, and now we go back and get your education, and we pay out all this money and get loans. We should be given a voucher system to go to any school we want to. For the many years that you disallowed us to read and kept us out of institutions and had us go in the basement of churches to do our training in law, for all those years, we are now entitled to some entitlements. And the reason why I feel so strongly is because I was told, Omiika, if you come back and work in the lower socioeconomic areas, we've got some stipends for those teachers who come back to work in their own lower socioeconomic area. We will forgive up to $5,000 of their loans. Do you know, I went away and came back from an undergraduate degree, never got my $5,000, went back to grad school and came back and worked in a lower socioeconomic area when I could be working in a better school district, put my time in, submitted my application, there was nothing for me. Now, why is it that every other young Caucasian lady could go to the inner city, put her application in, and we know that this is war zone area, we know that, but was that program intended for the Caucasian teachers that were coming to the inner city and not for the blacks who were already living there? Make up your mind. Because if you put it on the government records, you've got to regulate it for everyone and not just for some. Those monies are due to a lot of us teachers, a lot of us. And some of us teachers went abroad, and we gave up our life for the government, for government orders, and we put our lives on the line, and we took our families over there, and we were guaranteed return rights, orders to return us. Some of us got over there, and our orders got deterred. Our orders expired. Some of our orders never got acknowledged, and our stuff and things are still in the storage cabinets of the Germans. Every inch of what we own, starting from bedroom furniture to clothing items, almost 18,000 pounds of things that we lured overseas to go and help our country is still sitting there. We want it back. We want it back. I personally want it back. Because when you have to start all over again from scratch, it's not easy. Omi knows because I had to do it. My things are sitting there right now. Obama, you need to know this. I was a good soldier, and I was a good general. And I took every assignment, every detail that they asked me to. But when they had 9/11 and they shut down the city, we had no way of getting mail in or out, getting to our bank accounts or anything. It was unheard of the way we were treated during 9/11. And some of us were treated lower than a refugee. And we never got our orders to even disband and leave there. We had to escape on our own account. It's some correction that needs to be made. That's a form of reparation right there. That's a form. If you've been given a contract to work for 3 years with the intentions to work 3 years and they cut your contract, then they still should pay you till that contract is up. Then if you get another contract while you're there and they interfere with your contract so you cannot go and utilize your contract, they are violating the contract. Now, you've got your laws, and you tell us we must follow your laws. Then when are you going to follow the laws that you created yourself? There is some reparation deeds that you can make good right now with some of your school teachers who have gone abroad, who have not been found favorable and not given what they were promised that they would be given. You could correct that now. We create your nation's children. We develop the reading tendency for all prospective literacy people in the world, and yet we get dragged across the rivers to go overseas to support the United States Army. Then we get suckered into losing our rights, losing our ability to have orders that work. You could fix those workable orders. You could fix those. And then when we go into litigation and class action suit to go to JAG to fight you for years after years after years, and we still stand on the line and we fight for you, it's a conflict of interest. We're fighting with our own nation, and yet we're standing up trying to defend the nation. You could do something to correct and reparation. That's big business. And these are teachers who are coming back scarred, having to start all over again. And some of their families have been dismantled and they've been crushed. You can fix that. I know you can. Has big business with slavery hurt America? Yes, it has. Now, we're looking at from writing the preamble to writing the 15th, 13th, and 14th Amendment, how docile these intelligent intellectuals were who wrote such ambiguous writing that it was not conducive to reinforce. Now we are enforcing laws. Go back and reinforce those laws. Get your pro se lawyers together. Let us examine what damaging tools that might have happened to the African American, and let's correct it. Now, I'm going to come on this show every day to talk about what is rightfully ours and what should be done. You know why? Because I want all people to be equal. And white people, as you come in this room, I always make you welcome and say we're equal and that we're all at the foot of the cross and we're level at the cross as well. I don't call you out and say you shouldn't be here and we're separate. I tell you that whatever you have gotten for the good of economy, we want it too. Now, when I told you it was some stuff that was stolen from us, I meant that. And I want it back. I want all my household goods back from overseas. I want the government to be held responsible for going there and saying, what is it that only left over here? Can y'all please give it to me so I can give it to her? That's what I want done. You know why? Because when they said, come over and help the country, I'll guarantee you, you'll get home safely and your things will be shipped back. They didn't tell me there would be a change of orders. They didn't tell me that the colonel wouldn't be able to sign my papers. They didn't tell me that I'll be stuck there while other people are busily transported to proper places in safety. They didn't tell me that my life would be in danger. They didn't tell me that. So I've been damaged. I'm not the only one. There are many teachers that have been damaged. So there's some work that needs to be done, Obama. Come talk to me. Get a crew of teachers together. I have something to say about the subject. As a matter of fact, I'm writing about it. And as I write about it, then maybe somebody will pay me for it, because certainly it needs to be addressed. Some of you people are saying, no, we don't need no reparation. What is Omi talking about? We done got our college degrees now, and we getting our nails done, and we can get our hair done when we want to. Girl, we got it made. So what we need, we reparation. First of all, you got to understand what compensation means before you ever understand why we need reparation. If the taxes keep going up, you and nobody else won't be able to afford those fine houses you got. And if you find out that the school service is depreciating and your children are getting less and less educated and you're still paying more taxes, you're going to probably want to leave this country and go to some other continent. If you don't become cognizant of what is going on around you. A large amount of us retirees are going to slip away from here and go to other foreign countries to retire. But yet this is our country, you say. This is our homeland. We have built this land. Then shouldn't we get a piece of the pie? We should, Caucasian people, Melanite, non-Melanite people, we should. You know why? It would go well with you. Then you'll be able to feel equal to somebody, and you won't have to feel like we're undermined, like you've undermined us. You'll understand that God created us all equal and that you came from us, and we're your mothers and fathers. And that when you honor us, good things come to you. You're blessed when you're around African Americans. I decree you're blessed because everything that you possibly have done in the past that was wrong, do you not understand that there's a level of forgiveness that God will extend to you? And if you want it to go well in your households and extend your life till you become a gray-haired old man and be able to see your children around your table, then you've got to think about, logically, can we do this to a people and allow them to survive? Can we let them go free and say, here's your freedom, and leave them penniless without land and expect them to succeed? We've gone beyond succeeding in some capacities, but mentally we're still scarred. And we still think that if we got a little piece of that land and money, we could smooth it over and we can get ourselves together. And we can begin to act civil again. But if all we do is get handouts, set-asides, and programs that don't work, we'll continue to be failing. And everywhere you go, all of the urban cities will look just alike, just like death has set in. I'm going to breathe life into those cities as I speak here. Breathe life into those cities so that they will be looking for a vegan lifestyle, a wellness lifestyle. Start today, people, to make yourself healthy, eating right. I don't care what it costs. Take your last dime. Because there's a new generation coming, and you want to be in it. And you don't want to kill yourself with AIDS, and you don't want to kill yourself with side effects, and you don't want to kill yourself with drugs. So start taking care of yourself. In this new world that we're about to embark upon, where we rule, you're going to have to be healthy. You cannot walk around here sliding your feet in house shoes, sipping on gin and juice, riding around in your deuce and a quarter. You cannot be doing that. You cannot be taking drugs and unauthorized prescriptions and buying prescriptions. You can't be doing that. We got to have a well society to do the things that we have to do. Your mind has to be turned on right. Now, I know the lights are on upstairs, but somebody done gone to sleep and they're not retaining and recalling information well. And if we're trying to bring back our memory, you got to stay conscious. So what I'm saying to you, listening audience, African American, you're going to have to start a wellness process. And I gave you that as a foundation because you can't do anything when you're sick in your mind and when your brain is not operating right. You've got to get yourself healthy from head to toe because you've got to be able to articulate and express yourself. And if the mind is not sharp and if your knife is dull, you'll not be able to cut with it. You need to have a cutting-edge mind, a sharp mind. At 57 years old, I pray and ask God to give me all the indubitable rights to my brain, that I possess the memory that I had as a child and hold on to the short-term and long-term because it's going to be called upon. You're going to need your brain. And now that it comes to issues of life, it is like your heart. You cannot have heart over matter. You're going to have to use the brain with the heart. Keep that heart going and keep that mind going. Stop this foolishness of smoking and choking yourself to death with all of these gin and juice and drinks and Cristal and all of these commercials. It's foolishness. Why would you want to rotten your brain out and kill brain cells, good brain cells that the ancient ones treasured? How could you know who you are if you're killing your brain cells? Now, don't get on me to preaching today. Because it's some work that we got to do. It's some definite work. So when they do give us our reparation, we got to put a clinic together to do some work on us. Because we are a mess. We are certainly a mess. And we want everything, and we got to have all these material things, and all we need is a good mind, a good mind to want to serve God, and a mind to stay on God so that we can become righteous people again. Don't go asking for reparation and you don't know what to do with it. God never gave man money who didn't know what to do with it. You cannot give a fool money. You have to know what plans you're going to use it for. Now, I'm not going to go into that because that's for our next segment. Well, what I will say is big businesses made lots of money. And guess what? You're no longer an 8-to-5 employee. Become a corporation. Get your books out. Go on the internet. Pull out what it takes to become a corporation. Now, I didn't say LLC, because an LLC is not a full-blown recognized corporation. I'm saying a subchapter S, go under a subchapter S, and all of the contracted programs where you could find out what it is for you to become incorporated in places like Delaware and Nevada. Understand one thing. Once you become an institution, you have to function that way. And we're going to cover what it is to become an institution. We're going to cover that in the next segment. But once again, we know that European white males in power got the first reparation because they had such big businesses that they could not refuse to utilize these walking, cart-carrying Visa, MasterCard African slaves. So they were not giving up those slaves unless they were paid. Lincoln told them, well, we'll give you the first reparation. And as I told you, in Washington, D.C., which was the capital of slave ownership, they were given the first reparation. And for every slave that they lost, they got $300 a head. So they were paid, and that jump-started the economy for them. Now we've got corporations now who are benefiting from all of that that happened many years and eons ago. We've got to sit down and look at where the flaws are and where things can be corrected. And we've got to do that soon. Let's not wait and hesitate. Let's sit down at the table and come correct with our minds open and clear to discuss this. Because you've got intelligent master's degree, PhD students that are coming out, and believe you me, they are going to want to talk about it, and they're going to want to sit down and iron out the inadequacies, because some of the younger people can't visualize being a 3/5 of a human being. They cannot visualize functioning in a society where they are being thought of as cattle. And you've wronged us, Europeans, you really have. And anytime you take a human being to see them as cattle, you've got some forgiveness. And you've got to ask for forgiveness, but we're not worried about our scars and how hurt we are. We're not going to come crying to you about how hurt we are. We're beyond that. We are about the business of negotiating and writing a contract, and we like to sit down to talk about what things are available. I know the government is broke, and we don't know where the money's going to come from, but we can become creative, and we can create an opportunity, a bill could be passed where monies could be put together to start the process. And I know this is a workable thing, and we've got to come to some kind of agreement. We've got to, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to be creative about it, and we've got to know what it is we're doing. And I know we could do this. And if we don't do it soon, the young people are going to show us how it's done. Let's get ready to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. And I say to you, oh, double, and I say to those people out there who is sitting in the audience right now, let me hold up a minute because I got a few minutes on my hand. If you're sitting out there in the audience and you don't know what to ask for and you never had a desire, I didn't ever want to be a corporation. I don't want a company. Why would I need a company? I'm not a big institution. But become an institution. Get all of the inalienable rights that the United States offered the immigrants, the ability to come in, to have a Dun & Bradstreet number, the ability to utilize your gifts to build a corporation for your family, the ability to set aside the taxes that will be given to you, the discounts on taxes and the write-offs, all of the benefits of having a corporation are what we're missing out on. And yet we keep talking about a job. A job is not your answer. Having a corporation is. And I want to explain to you, I don't care if it's a non-for-profit or for profit. Find something you can do to incorporate yourself. And as you begin to lay out the All-America dream, you can see where you can get your benefits from in order to get your reparation to you and through you. Go the route of whoever incorporates, that the country will sit down and function with you as a corporation because they know you mean business. And they can help you get set up with your first grant and with your first small loan to get on your feet and forgive your loan as a way of getting you to start a business and jump start the economy. I don't talk about jobs because they can go away overnight. I'm talking about helping establish us as an institution. Do you know the slaves created the first 100 institutions right out of slavery, and they had no education, no degrees? So what are we waiting for? To incorporate, ladies and gentlemen, is to take your families and bring them in together as a business and hire your own family as staff. Look into those opportunities. I don't care if you're shelling beans. I don't care if you're in the backyard painting rocking chairs. Whatever your business is, I don't care if you're up in grandma's attic picking the flies out of the woodwork. I don't care if you're downstairs in the cellar digging ditches. Make it into a corporation. Find a way to incorporate yourself so you can have institutions that will pay for itself, so that your corporation will give you tax write-off and you will inalienably be able to hire your children and put them to work and put them on the payroll. Now, Omi is telling you this because I know it's possible. Had my son on the payroll. However, I want to structure this thing the right way. When I go at it, I want you to be able to be ready to incorporate. I want you to be able to also get involved with legal. Start reading up on the laws. Go to the library. Start hanging out at the library. If you're gonna go to the library, quit reading all those fictional books about love making and how to get a man and who shot John and when he coming home and where's my paycheck and she better have my money. Start going to the library, going to the legal department. Read up on some of these grants. Find out about some of these laws and how these amendment acts were passed. Read up on how a law is made. Try to find out how to become a person to do your own pro se. Write a motion. Do an interrogatory. It's a step-by-step process. But whatever you do, start understanding you got to be a citizen in order to be taken serious. If the government is going to take you serious, he's got to see you got a serious business that you need help with. There are corporations right now, how to become a millionaire in your business. There are organizations that want to give you money and set you up as an establishment and show you how to make $1 million in your business. Now, they're not going to come knocking at your door like this. Oh, man, you think you want to start a business? I got tons of money and grant money to give you. I'm just waiting to give it to the African American. Do you think they're going to come to your house like that? Or Obama will come to your house? Oh, me. I want you to be on the board with me, and I also want you to be on the legislature, and I'm going to set you up. Nobody's coming to your house to tell you that. You got to have some sense for yourself. Get up and go to the library. Get on up. Go to the library and go to that law library. Read about the grants and RFPs and where the money is coming from. Where is Obama funding their money in? Is it up under sustainability? Then you better be reading all of those RFPs that come out of sustainability. Where's the money going, Obama? Help us out. Go to your legislature. Talk to them. Go to your congressman. Get legally, ethically correct. Because what we're doing a disservice to ourselves, we're failing to read. This is a literacy room. And I ask you every day, do you care to read? Pick up a book. Omi reads to you all the time. Go to the library and start reading to yourself. Then come back and talk to me and write to me and tell me about it. We're going to do some fantastic things this year. I guarantee you, I'm going to make you literate yet. And if you don't do anything else but write a poetry book, Omi going to walk you through it because we're going to be literate people. And once we become literate, we can write volumes of law books. We can correct the law books. We can begin to develop things that have never been written before. Let's get together and let's do it. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it. And on that note, we're ready to do it, okay? We're going to do it, and we can have the success song for African Americans and Caucasian. And Caucasian, hold on. I got a poem I got to play. I got to see this. Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, say, can you see? read by the author Omiika Bidiako Garth. Oh, say, can you see the Statue of Liberty waving at me? America, the beautiful she once used to be, shedding her light ever so bright, even in through dawn's early night. Now my future doesn't look so bright. Oh, say, can you see the Statue of Liberty? Is she waving at me? With her once opening doors where they were once closed, and rearranging the positions we hold. Now with the people free, they can get up. They can get up off their knees to stand equal beside every man with pride. Oh, say, can you see? Is the Statue of Liberty, is she waving her hand at me? You said education was the key, and that you wanted all men to be free. Once receiving the higher knowledge, now after I've obtained the college, affirmative action would now be abolished. Is there no place for me left here in society? Oh, say, can you see? Is the Statue of Liberty, is she waving her hand at me? While looking back in retrospective, it seems that you have now neglected to look at your reflection to see if you have waved in my direction. Is this one soul that will never be saved? All because you forgot to wave. Oh, say, can you see? Oh, say, can you see?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on our way out of here, but my prayer for you is that you will take this serious, the reparation and advancing our businesses once again, not with slavery, but allowing the African American, who are a 0.5% of the 1% of the nation's wealth, allowing us to be wealthy again, which will kick off the ability for the whole nation to jumpstart the economy. And I repeat, we are a billion-dollar consumer, and we have been one of the top consumers. We know that this country can be put at their knees if we stop spending. We know that. However, we have to gear our dollars in the direct places so that our dollars could spend and be meaningful. And I don't want you to forget about that small man out there with his business and not patronize him. Just because Kwanzaa is over with, that doesn't mean that you doesn't have to support him. And he'll tell you more than I can. Here he is. Well, I guess he won't be. Oh, he is.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My community.
My brothers who got all their wealth. They say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Economic, ladies and gentlemen, we can help ourselves with Ujamaa, and we can start off by obtaining our own website, ladies and gentlemen, and obtaining some of the African fabrics that come from abroad. You can sell the fabrics, even though you don't even sew or you're not a seamstress, you can sell the fabrics. They're in demand. But if you can sew, sisters and brothers, put some things together and weave some things together with your creativity and sell your garment and get ready for Kwanzaa for next year. Put it in your mind that you're going to make those things that you need for Kwanzaa and sell them amongst yourself. Now, we've got to pull ourselves together, so when we get ready to get reparation, you got to know what you're going to do with the money. You just can't be saying, I want some money in my bank account. You know me, I'm the big G. I want some money in my bank account so I can get some gold on my neck. I'm not talking about buying no gold rhinestone for your neck. I'm talking about looking at stocks and bonds, knowing what to invest in, and how to go on the internet and see where you can buy a stock that is going to blow up. I'm talking about having a portfolio. Most of the military people who didn't have college degrees rolled out their portfolios, and when those master degree, attaché case carrying, beady-eyed glass wearing came in with their degree, and they didn't have a portfolio. And here these militaries were rolling out their portfolios of all the stocks and bonds that they bought. Then somebody done told us wrong. When you come out of school, and we know you don't have a job, but we know that when you do get a job, the first thing you do is find what you can invest in, how to duplicate and multiply your money. Now, we know that buying a car, rolling off the lot, is not going to appreciate the car. The car is going to depreciate when you roll off. We know that when you buy a house, that that's somewhat of an investment and a write-off. So we have to be told these things. You don't jump up and buy a car because there's no write-offs to be had. But you do buy land and property, and then you do buy stocks. And you have to understand these things. These churches should be rolling out the opportunity for webinars and workshops on how to build economic prosperity within your portfolio. And we're going to talk some more about that, ladies and gentlemen. And I know you're up for it, because when you get this reparation, you have to visualize in your mind. Come on, visualize with me. Close your eyes. Visualize what you're going to do with the funds and how you're going to manifest it and make it grow. Don't just want something and don't know what you're going to do with it, and then you go and hide your talent. Take your talent and make it work for you, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can. And I know the Caucasians are going to sit down with us, and they're going to break bread with us, and they're going to reason with us. And they're going to make some type of allowance for us. I know it because I feel it in my spirit. And if you are spiritual, you would feel it too. Are you feeling what I'm feeling? Do you see what I can see? Oh, if you can see with my eyes and what I can see clairvoyantly down the road, I see us walking together as brothers and sisters, opening up the way so African Americans can start the process of being a part of the all-American dream. I see doors that are opening now that were once closed. I see banks and institutions opening up the way to offer grants and monetary gain for all of the compensations that we lost. Visualize it, ladies and gentlemen. See it in your spirit. Believe it. And stand on it and watch it happen. It has to come to pass. And I'll see you tomorrow, same time in this room at 6 o'clock. Remember, this is a new segment, ladies and gentlemen. You want to lock in that dial at 646-478-0270. And tomorrow, I want my listening audience to come in and chat with me. Ask questions. Give me you some homework. Go back and find out what percent of the business during 19 or 1864 was done from slavery, or what type of business was the biggest business. I want you to research that and come in the room and let's talk about it tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have the lines open. You can call in and frequent this room and ask questions at your liberty. I am your emperor. Whatever you like, I am here to serve you. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, oh, double and baba boy to you, y'all. See you tomorrow.